tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own beyond my ears. I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone. Step by step.
Hey, welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Step Series. We're going to have our joke now, so I have Isabel come up and tell you one.
Come on. Woohoo! All right, so this drunk goes to a doctor, and he says, "Doctor, I broke my arm in 3 different places. What do I do?" And the doctor looks at him and he says, "Don't go to those places." Home.
Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our 2-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that might make noise or distract others. Take this time to get connected to God, let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Let's just wait till everybody takes a seat. All right, everybody ready? Let's start the meditation. We're going to start with the Fagle prayer. Just start after me. I believe it's not up here. But God, let your love shine through me like a fog light for those who are lost, sick, and dying. Can find your love to me. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Theory to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. Reread this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
Good evening. Theory, recovered alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must require an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation.
All right, everybody. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane mode, meeting mode, or just turning off. Today we have Marion coming to speak again. It's on, I believe, the 10th step, which is a very important step. I'd like to have her come up. So give a hand to Marion.
I'm Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Good to be here and good to be sober. And I want to welcome anyone who's new to Alcoholics Anonymous. Good to see Jack up here and sharing. He's so cute and so innocent. Is it falling out? Or is it just me? It's on. Okay, cool. Good to see everybody. We're in the big house again tonight. It's a little intimidating up here, but, you know, Peter talks about this friend of his that walk in the rooms of alcoholics. And what's that guy's name again? Oh, my gosh. He just walks in and, you know, we take ourselves so doggone seriously. And he walks in the rooms of AA up in New York and he just goes, and Peter would say, oh, I'm speaking tonight. And he goes, they must be desperate for speakers or whatever, you know. And it's like we just do that. We just tend to take ourselves a little bit serious sometimes. And I don't know. So my sobriety date is November 11th, 1989. And I have an awesome sponsor named Polly P. She's up serving in Canada tonight. And so I got to talk to her a little bit yesterday and text message with her and send our Bitmojis back and forth. Hers is real cute. Can you imagine Polly Pistol's Bitmoji? It's really cute. Yeah, it's really cute. And on the way down here, so we just got a new car, and it's pretty fancy for us. It's not a brand new car, but it's a fancy car for us, and we love it. And every day we just, when we get in, it's like, can you believe this is our car? We're just like, wow, God is so good, and oh, we love it. We feel, it's just cool, you know? And so we're driving here, we're going down Broward, and Peter's like looking at the dash, and there's a coffee cup on the dash. There's a little coffee cup thing on the dash. And he's like, what is that? What is that thing? And I said, oh, it's just maybe their fancy way of saying it needs oil. It's an oil light or something like that. You know, I'm just trying to think of anything. And good old Siri and asking Siri and finding it. It's literally there to, that if you are weaving on the road or something, you guys probably all know this stuff, but for me it was cool. You know, weaving on the road or whatever, that, you know, the light's going to go on and it's going to tell you you need a cup of coffee. And Peter and I are like, whatever, you know, we're high-fiving each other because we know the importance of coffee, you know? We're AAs, right? So we feel like, yeah, this is our alcoholic car, yes. So we were so pumped. So that's my drive here. And of my opening joke, and the joke, yeah, great. Don't go to those places, the broken arm. Yeah, no kidding, right? Same places over and over again, expecting different results. The guy was, that alcoholic was probably in the same place three times. If he was really an alcoholic, went back to the same place, broke his arm, went back and tried it again, and went back and tried it again. He was a jaywalker, you know? Probably a jaywalker, like we do, you know? Bump our heads up against some stuff over and over and over again. And this hurts, but it isn't going to hurt this time. It ain't going to hurt this time. It's not going to hurt this time. Over and over again. And that's just the thing that we do as alcoholics. It's just so, you know, I always say this, you know, God loves drunks because we're just fun to watch. And, you know, and I really believe that, you know, and I'm talking about step 10 tonight, you know, continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And that word wrong, and I think about how much time I've spent in my life trying to prove my case and being right in situations, being right with, but I should have been brought up better, but I should have, this should have been like this, and they should be doing this, and so-and-so should be doing that, and all the cases, I'm always wanting to, you know, in my alcoholism and in my untreated alcoholism, I always wanted to prove my point in my case. And, you know, I work this with my sponsees a lot. It's okay to be wrong. Like, you know, we're selfish and we're self-centered to the core, you know? And it's like, that's the deal. This is like, you know, if you're new to the Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, welcome. It's not just about the alcohol. It's just about changing your whole entire life. You know, and the step work doesn't stop when I'm 5 years sober or 90 days sober. I went through the steps and I'm good now. And it doesn't, this is a continuous process. I'm a fine example of that today. You know, I'm a fine example of, it's so funny as I've been doing this series, and it isn't funny, it's God. Is it, you know, people say, is it odd or is it God or, you know, things like that. But it just seems as if as I prepare for this every week, I don't prepare for it every week. There's a little bit of reading I do or whatever, but it feels like God just keeps presenting these circumstances in my life that present themselves to go, okay, Marion, we're going to go live and we're going to go fresh and you're going to show them how Lucy Ricardo you are in your life every single week. And it's like, you know, and it's true. Step 10 is everything to me. I mean, it's all everything to me. But that place of brokenness and that place of,
where I can just fall short of these principles all the time. Fall short of these places, and knowing that I got a place where I can go like, oh my God, I can clean this mess up. I can admit when I'm wrong. And I can admit it in front of 100 people tonight, or however many people, you know, whatever. And my pride doesn't want that. And my ego does not want that. You know, my disease is doing push-ups and somersaults and waiting and looking for any loophole, any way to grab me and catch my attention and pull it away from God. And pull it away from God, the very place that's given me breath, that's given me life, that's given me hope, that's given me anything. A life of abundance with a car that has a coffee cup on the dash, you know? A life of abundance that, you know, after working, you know, and you're going to hear some of the stuff I went through in the last 24 hours that God brought me through, you know, and at the in the light of the end of it, in the light of the end of it, of doing some inventory and looking at my wrongs and righting some wrongs and going to God in prayer and meditation. Here's the glorious thing of all. Not of all, but it's glorious. Today's International Women's Day. And I celebrate you women. Yeah, girls. But because I did work today with God and humble, not because of, this just happened. It just happened. You know, because God, you know, when we're awakened in the spirit and when we're awakened to the stuff that God's doing in our lives, I do my prayer, I do my inventory, I spend some beautiful time with God on the beach and a walk and come back, and sitting at my doorstep was a box from my friend Ava from New York. And it was a box full of shoes on International Women's Day. Now that's how my God works in my life today. That's pretty cool. These little black shoes are from Ava. Shout out to Ava tonight. But you know what I mean? It's like these are the things that we get to have this life of abundance, and it can be anything. You know, if you're a mechanic, it's like you do the right thing. And it isn't, I don't go to God for presents. I don't do that stuff for, you know, God, give me something. I go to God to say, thank you. I screwed up again. I'm a ragamuffin little drunk who just happened to have your grace. And he gave me a box of shoes today. You know, that's pretty cool. And, you know, they probably still would have been there if I didn't do the work. I don't know that. I mean, I don't know that stuff today. But so what kind of happened was I've moved out of Fort Lauderdale. I'm in transition, moving into my new place in Boca. You know, luxury problems. But the deal is that shift, you know, we're women, we nest, we build, we decorate, we make things shiny, you know, and things have been kind of upside down and in boxes. Peter got that way when we were first in the boxes because he's a guy and guys do the boxing and taping and, you know, that stuff. And so I'm on the other end of it of, oh, I got to make everything pretty and shiny now. And I was feeling like really upside down, and I was kind of short, and I was kind of, you know, I was kind of short and so kind of a little edgy, and I didn't like what my behavior looked like, and I wasn't quite sure. You know, I called my sponsor, and my sponsor was going, you know, God bless her. I took it as, oh, she's not there for me. She's busy. You know, the same stuff sometimes my sponsees do to me. I kind of did it about my sponsor. And got a call back later on, and it was my perception. And what I needed to do was run that by somebody else to go, well, I really feel like she wasn't there for me in that minute. Well, you know what? It wasn't about her. It was about me. It was all about me, you know, and the place I was and the place where I was wrong. And I kind of, you know, put my head on the pillow last night, and I really couldn't figure out the inventory I needed to do. I was kind of And that's the deal about this thing. It's, you know, it's lifelong. It's a lifelong endeavor. It's a lifelong working this stuff. And our book actually explains some really cool stuff about that. And I'll see if I get there, but I should. It's interesting because in this one paragraph in step 10 on page 84, it actually... It presents itself as like, what are we going to do? Is we look at step 10 as, yeah, we continue to take personal inventory. Does that feel like it's falling off again? Maybe it's not. We continue to take personal inventory. Well, so how do we don't just jump right to the inventory? You know what I mean? In this one paragraph, it goes on to explain to us steps 4 through 9. How do I do that thing? Because it's not like I go through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and I go do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 and make my amends and I'm good the rest of my life. Well, we're good to go and let's go. You know, we're going to continue to have wrongs. We're going to continue to make mistakes. We're going to live better. But our book talks about not resting on our laurels. You know, I've been sober 28 years. So 28 years, which is not a lot to people with 30 or like my sponsor or anybody else, you know, people more than me. But, you know, the people that are my heroes in Alcoholics Anonymous, the people that I like to follow are the people who aren't resting on this stuff to go, I'm good to go. I'm a meeting maker. I'm going to have another cup of coffee and I'm going to sit there restless, irritable, and discontented. And I'm going to be full of fear and I'm going to be full of all these things that my alcoholism, how it presents itself. So this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. What? Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. How do we grow in understanding and effectiveness? Well, you know, how do I grow in understanding? Well, I have this relationship with my higher power that I want to understand, that I want to seek after with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength every day, because without that, I'm in trouble. I don't understand how the God of my understanding makes 12 billion kinds of fish, and there's more fish in the bottom of the ocean that don't even have a name yet, and that there's more stars in the sky than you can count, and that there's snowflakes that are of every snowflake that's ever fallen, is none of them two are the same. I don't understand that, but by God, I'm going to spend my lifetime trying to figure that out. And whether it's I'm on my knees and I'm in a cathedral, or whether I'm, you know, outside driving up in my cool car with a coffee cup and I see a homeless guy and I give him a dollar, that's growing in understanding and effectiveness. That's one of God's kids. You know, I want that life today because I know what is there for me. In the bottom of my alcoholism and some non-approved conference, whatever stuff, you know, I was in the closet with the door closed and paranoid that the cops were in the trees outside the blinds. You know, that's where I came from. You know, I was crazy and I was desperate and I was broken, and I don't have that life today. I have a car with a coffee cup on the dash. You know, I have a box of new shoes. I have a host of friends. I have some guys I get to work with at work, and we read The Velveteen Rabbit yesterday, and they got to learn about him and play guitar in the park and, you know, sponsor a bunch of girls and have a fabulous love in my life and get to do stuff like, I mean, what? I don't want to go back inside that closet and be afraid that there's cops outside. I don't want that life anymore. So, but that's waiting for me. My disease, that's waiting for me. But guess what, guys? That's not only waiting for me, worse than that. Because I have a disease that's progressive. We have a disease that's progressive. Wherever you were when you came in, welcome back to that, but worse. Worse. So this isn't about quitting this work. It isn't about sitting back and, you know, taking it, you know, kind of last night I was kind of grumpy. I went to bed early. I kind of put myself, you know, in this place. And I prayed before I went to sleep. We had a kind of a restless sleep, but I didn't, you know, sometimes here it was. This is what I did, telling on myself. Solitary self-appraisal seldom suffices. And I had solitary self-appraisal last night. Okay? But guess what? I can admit when I'm wrong. I can admit when I'm short. I can make direct amends. And I can say, what can I do to make it right? And it really was not that big of a deal, a huge deal, just a little thing. But somewhere in here, somewhere in growing in this love and affection with my Creator, I don't have room for that stuff in my heart anymore. I don't have room for it. But it comes. But it comes. And it's there sometimes. And it wants to hook me and take me and drag me down to wherever the heck that icky place is in the closet, you know? It does, you know? So, but I got something I can do about it. And that's what I love about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I have a friend I talked to yesterday that I'm just starting to sponsor her, and she's twisted up, you know? And then we're doing some untwisting. And some of the things that I'm reminded of in my life, and Peter's helped me with this too. It's really cool to be in a relationship where you're shoulder to shoulder and you're buds, and we can be, you know, we can stay current and accountable with each other. And the greatest reminder I have today is because the first thing I want to say is that, oh my gosh, I'm just crazy, and you know, I don't have a solution, and you know, I'm. Whatever, all the places we can go in depression and morbid reflection and all these places we can go. And it's just such a breath of fresh air that my answer can be in the first 164 pages of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That every time I pick up this book, and every time I'm connected with you, and every time I'm connected with the people that I'm accountable with, my shoulder-to-shoulder women and people I can be vulnerable with, I get to be free. Not bad for people like us, for drunks like us, right? We've entered the world of the Spirit. This is one of my favorite lines. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So if I'm growing in understanding of this relationship with God and effectiveness with how effective, if I'm coming to you, to one of my sponsees, And I'm in my untreatedness, I'm in pride, and I'm in ego, and I'm in, you know, gossiping and slandering and doing all those stuff. How effective am I being with them? Probably not. But when I do come to them and go, because my girls know me, they know that sometimes I'm crumbling, and I'll just tell them that. And that's okay, because, I mean, that's just the way I've been sponsored. My sponsor is messy too, and I adore her. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch these four watchwords, guys. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, so this is what we're doing, is that we're watching, we're taking inventory of our life every day, right? Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? You know, on page 86, it talks all about that. When we retire at night, where was I selfish? Where was I dishonest? All those things. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately. It took me overnight. I'm not perfect. I know some of you want to walk out now because you thought I was perfect. Sorry, honey, I'm not perfect. It's a joke. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. I don't know about you. I caused a lot of damage in my life. To my kids, to my brothers, my sisters, my mom, my dad. You know, I don't want to be that person anymore. And I don't want to cause harm in people's life. And most of the time, Well, selfishness, dishonesty, and resentment is all because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what people are going to think of me. I'm afraid of, you know, I'm going to lose something I got, or I'm not going to get something I want, or that somebody's got something better than me, or all that stuff. Then when we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Like Polly always says, my beautiful Polly Pisto, honey, just go help somebody. Just go help somebody. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And I, so often when I look at the line, love and tolerance is our code, I spent a lot of my life, you know, how do you need God when you can play God? Okay, everybody, I'm the actor. I'm going to pretend like I'm the director. If everybody, you know, on three, scene starts, and you guys all do exactly what I want you to do. Well, you know, if I'm here to be a spoke in the wheel, and if I'm here to be play the part that God's assigned me to play, the role God's assigned me to play, you know, I had a beautiful, amazing, incredible experience in New York. And I was at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and I was with Peter and his brother, and it was Christmas. And there was this line of people, and, you know, we all have our own beliefs. Whatever yours is yours. God bless you. It doesn't matter. I'm just sharing mine. And they were lining up for confession, and it was like, it was Christmas Eve day, wasn't it? I think so. And I was like, oh my God, I can do confession at St. Pat's. Wow, how cool is this? You know? And I got in line, and I'm like thinking, wow, this is cool. You know, cleaning up before Christmas. Get the dirt off of me, you know? And it was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. And you know, one of the things I take away and I remember about that is, you know, he, the father who was on the other side, you know, oh my God, he just sounded like he had angels flying around him. He was just, oh, it's so beautiful. But I just told him, I said, you know, sometimes he goes, you can ask me anything you want to. Just ask me anything you want to. And I said, well, sometimes I get a little bit of tired because, you know, I'm in AA and, you know, tell him about, you know, we work with a lot of people and things like that. And sometimes I get tired, and he goes, will you just ask God who he wants you to help? Because God's burden should never be heavy. God's burden is always light. And that was just, it was just a beautiful experience, you know? And then I walked out like Madonna and it fell over. No, just kidding. It wasn't like that at all. It was beautiful. So that's growing in understanding and effectiveness and cleaning up our stuff as we go. You know, I am an advocate for that, to clean up stuff as we go. You know, I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and I didn't have a prayer and I didn't have a chance. And I was broken and hated me and I couldn't live in my own skin. And Alcoholics Anonymous said, welcome. And they welcomed me in all my brokenness. And they showed me the way. And they showed me how to break away from this stuff through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, to break away from the old person I was. And to continue this work and to continue this living in a place where I can right my wrongs. And I can be free of this burden on my back. You know, one of the principles, and even going back to this gentleman and this father that was in the confession booth, you know, to carry the burden that God has for me to bear, you know, is to always do my best. It's a Don Miguel Ruiz thing, and, you know, to do my best. Well, my best doesn't mean that I have to, you know, overserve either. What is my best, you know? How am I paying back me today? Well, I'm paying back me today by cleaning up my wrongs and righting my wrongs and being able to look myself in the eye. Because, guys, I worked hard for that today, you know, and I can't take the credit for that. God's always directed me back to him. You know, I'm listening to this song today on the beach, and it's one of my favorite songs out there, and it's The Reckless Love of God. And this song is just so prevalent in my life today. And it's just about the way that God just pursues us and pursues us and pursues us and pursues us with his reckless abandon love. With his reckless abandon love. And he gives us that love so that we can pass it on to somebody else. What a gift. What a gift that we don't sit here as, you know, nobody earned the seat in here because of their virtues and righteous behavior, you know? We, you know, you guys are like me, you know, Peter always talks about this. We're the only people on the planet that, you know, we can come up to each other and tell somebody, you know, I robbed a bank last night. I, you know, woke up in a flop house. I got a black eye and, you know, all this stuff happened and we go, here's my number, give me a call, you know? and somehow God just takes that place and takes that brokenness and takes that stuff and gives us the opportunity to point ourselves back to him, back to God. And there isn't a person in here, you know, there isn't a person in here that hasn't received that grace and hasn't received that mercy tonight. I believe that with my whole heart. And yay, our book talks about progress rather than perfection. Oh God, thank God my shoulders can drop. They can drop. They can drop because I don't have to expect that perfection from myself today. We're our own worst critics. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. It's not my fight. For by this time, sanity will have returned. Right, cops aren't in the trees. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it like a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We react sanely and normally. How about that? You know, these are the promises of the 10th step of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you've never done this, guys, these are promises. Bill didn't say, maybe you'll get it. I mean, these are promises. Has anybody experienced these 10-step promises? So look at that. Look around the room of people that have received that, guys. And that doesn't mean that, oh, they're a go-getter and God loves them more. No, that's available for all of us, and it's in this design for living, and it's in this work. And who could show somebody how to do that, right? And then there's that too. And guess what? In order for those people that just raise their hand to keep what they have to pass this thing on. So it is a pleasure and a delight to be able to do that. Oh my God, we react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. Joe and Charlie talk about that. Joe, I think it's Joe. I can't remember. I always get them mixed up, and I don't know who they are. I just listen to them on tapes. But one of them says, you know, he doesn't know where his spiritual awakening happened in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. He has no idea. He just remembers one day he woke up and that obsession was removed. He doesn't know whether it was in the third step, the first step, the second step, the ninth, wherever. A new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. Not avoiding temptation. I can go to a wedding where they serve alcohol. I can go to a restaurant where they serve alcohol. You know, I can, when I'm in fit spiritual condition, I don't even remember the last time I was tempted. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Wow. We've not even sworn off. How many times did you guys do that, like me? I'm swearing off. You know my story. Call everybody in the morning. Guess what? I'm sober. Isn't that great? Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. That's our experience. That is how we react as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. How do I keep in fit spiritual condition? Isn't just like, you know, to be living selfishly and dishonest and resentment and fearful and go, oh God, please help me through this situation to, I'm cheating on my husband and I'm at the casino and I'm drinking a Red Bull and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and my sponsee's sitting at my house. Help me through this situation. You know, whatever that is, you know, it is, God's going to do, God's continued in 28 years to do for me what I can't do for myself. But I got to do some work. I got to do some action. This is a program of action. It isn't just a boom. Grace and mercy is a boom. Grace and mercy is God. And there's no explaining that stuff. The phenomena, the change. But the rest of it takes some action, guys. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We're not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? See, we've been given a life beyond our imagination. It's like God saved me to save somebody else, period. And the rest is just bonuses, like the car with the coffee cup. Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It's the proper use of the will. And that's what I need to do in my life today, is to line my will up with God's will. And to continue to take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, to admit it. So I think that's all I have tonight. I love you guys. Thanks so much.
All right, give another hand for Marion. We're going to have our secretary come up.
Hi, my name is Heather, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. I have asked Barry to come up and read the recovered statement.
Hi, everybody. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Barry. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for a lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
We read the recovered statement to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. In 1940-style Big Book sponsorship, from forward to second edition Alcoholics Anonymous, of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can I get a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Is there anyone needing a sponsor? Please raise your hand. Can you please stand? All right, let's get these folks back to God. Please join us Monday nights for our Big Book study meeting where the Big Book comes alive. We have fellowship at 6:30. The Big Book study starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, the Little Red Book, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. Also, if you want to get involved and do some service, we have a lot of activities going on, and the flyers are on the back table. You can see Mike after the meeting if you'd like, and I'll see you all next week.
Thank you, Heather. So we have tonight's session and all our past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book study. And those who wish to thank the speaker, please line up down the center aisle. Let's close with the Lord's Prayer when everyone's ready. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See you all Monday or next Thursday. Godspeed.
Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope.
shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. Shine.